Pixels in the Animation is wrapped on the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. Now, TFG and Mike and TV's Mr. Neil head to Hyrule. That's right, listeners, from episode 16 through episode 20 of PETA, Pain in the Ass. We will be covering all 26 episodes of the Legend of Zelda cartoon. Excuse us, podcasters. You can catch Pixels in the Animation every Wednesday on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com.
Excuse me, princess.
Sources say that should be the last time that happens.
Whoa, you sound weird though to me.
What sources?
My hopes and dreams.
So not anything we can really, you know, lean on.
Right.
Really. No, there's a short in my power cord and I think I have it braced. It had been working fine and up until tonight when it's kicked off twice, but I think I got it set. And Jenny and Oliver are upstairs, like, running around the house. It's 8 or 9, and he should be in bed. The dogs are barking. Sorry, guys.
What did you do, Joe? Did you just load him up with sugar and let him go?
No, really?
He's like, no, not sugar, bath salts.
Parenting 101 from off the cuff.
Feed your kid bath salts. Also Jack Daniels. Together if possible. Drunk cannibals are the funniest kind.
I'm sorry, I just read something that made me laugh hysterically. Sorry.
That was hysterically?
That was maniacal.
Yeah, that was maniacal.
If English was good enough for Jesus when he wrote the Bible, it would be good enough for Cope. Michelle Bachmann on Fox News on February 3rd, 2014.
She said that?
Yes, she did.
Well, there was a bunch of people that came out and said, we don't want the national anthem sung in a foreign language. They weren't fucking singing the national anthem.
There were things.
America the Beautiful. America is what there was. Yeah, not the national anthem.
Real quick, just so I know who to hang up on and never talk to again, did anybody have a problem with that Coke commercial?
Good God, no.
No.
Okay, just making sure.
I've not heard or met anybody that had a problem with it, which means I surround myself with good people.
Yes. Okay. I just want to make sure.
One asshole around, just for perspective, to make sure.
Just so I know who not to be friends with. Does anybody side with
that guy?
Science or creationism?
Because if you science,
well, creationism, of course.
I had this guy once.
Friendship's over.
I mean, I have to. We have to be contradictory to each other.
Yeah.
Shut up.
I had this guy once try to convert me. He's like, I believe in evolution. He's like, I believe in evolution too, just not in humans. Like, I was like, what? Like,
how does that even work?
I don't know. It
very,
doesn't.
Very carefully.
No, it doesn't. Have you? No, it does not work at all, ever.
Are we ready to do this?
Totally, yes. Dude. Let's opening a Mountain Dew now. I'm going to get crunk on Mountain Dew. Crunk. I'm totally gonna get fit chased on this stuff.
That's
be great.
That's what that reminded me of.
I have to
never say the word crunk again, Joe?
Can you say it one more time?
Is that like the official of when a word has died? Joe starts using it.
Can you do a remix of that? Crunk it up.
Crunk on Dew.
Oh God.
Yeah, man, I'm totally gonna get jacked up.
I don't think that word doesn't mean what you think it means. Like,
so
it doesn't take that
much. Crunk it up.
Wiki.
Can we not do this?
crunk it up.
crunk it up. Crunk it up.
First of all, listeners, I need you to get down and crunk it up. All the way up.
On this week's Off the Cup, we're going to get down and then
crunk
it back
up. I can't be associated with this anymore if we're going to keep saying that word.
Say what word, crunk? Woo!
This will be my last episode.
Going out on episode 45. All right.
What?
Also known as 45. The anniversary of Clunk.
No, last week was 45. Last week was 46.
No, it wasn't.
Was it? It's 44. Hold on.
Last week was 44. I'm looking at it right now.
You actually know what episode it is?
I pull it up in iTunes weekly.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, because
I'm looking at the blog post too.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. Yeah.
However, this doesn't need to be numbered. It can just be the Off the Cuff special or the Game of the Year.
Well, this is a special, right? Because technically 45 will be part two of off season, right?
But it's going to take us so much longer to get to episode 50 now.
That's the plan because we need to get the music together.
We're
going to have the music next week.
And now I need to edit that because now I... Wait, no one say anything else about what episode 50 is going to be. We'll talk about it after the show. Because I don't want to edit anything. I like leaving all this jargon in at the beginning now.
Jargon? You mean the jargon?
Yep. All right. So anybody that is still listening, this is going to be a special episode or no? Yes, no.
I think I say
just make it make it special.
So is it episode 45 or is it just the game of the year episode?
Special this is episode. The prunk episode. That's what this is.
All right.
Prunk episode.
Special episode.
Okay. If anyone's still.
I'm gonna pee.
Is anybody still?
I knew that was coming too.
For some reason, when I'm saying that, though, I'm hitting myself in the head when I say it. I don't know
you
why.
Know what? That's how I pictured you doing it, as your face, your hands smashed in your face every time. Special. That's why he wears the helmet, you see.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Are you good? We're good?
I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. Do it.
That's all. You broke him.
Hello and welcome to a special.
Now you can. Now every time for the rest of the episode you say the word special anywhere, you're gonna bust up laughing for no reason and look like you're well special.
Okay. Okay. I can't do it. Hello.
Welcome to a unique episode of Off the Cuff.
Unique. Yes. Hello and welcome.
Can't do it. Hello and welcome to a special episode of Off the Cuff.
This week, we are going to cover the game of the year for 2013. I am your host. As usual, Michael Powers. I'm joined, as you've heard, by Art Danner.
Special!
And Joe Reed.
Hello.
And Sean Z. Brown.
Woo!
Isn't anybody else imagine that Joe is kind of tipping his fedora while he was saying hello?
Well, hello, madam.
Hello.
But he's also removing his monocle.
Yes.
I wasn't going for an impression. That's just how I naturally talk. Sounds like I need
we're well aware.
Like a hipster. We get it. We know.
So for anyone that's, you know, tuned into Off the Cuff in the last few episodes or haven't been with us since the beginning, the last time we did when we did the 2012 game of the year, it was actually episode 9 of Extreme Retro Gaming. Which was released on January 17th of last year. I'm sure you
We are far behind.
About 2 weeks behind.
Well, it helped me out because without those extra 2 weeks, I wouldn't have played a bunch of the games that are on my list.
Without that extra 2 weeks, I wouldn't have wasted my time with brothers.
Also, you would have a non-functioning hand and or arm and shoulder and pinched nerves everywhere. And
It's a hyper-functioning hand now.
Oh, God. I in my head, I just picture you masturbating furiously.
The Stranger.
So did I.
Just like, but like mock speed, like what you'd imagine the Flash doing.
That sounds like
only
a lot of
chafing.
If we
were in the 80s, it'd be actually slow motion.
No, it's so fast it actually makes a cushion of air.
Look, I'm not actually touching it.
Speed Force done right.
So have you ever had a Speed Force hand job?
Want to have another one?
Do you want
one? Want to have another one? Want me to see you do it again?
All right, Danner, since you're the one that's got the tabulated scores, how do you want to handle this episode?
Well, I was thinking that we could, since everybody knows who voted, knows what they put in, maybe they would like to know what we voted as our number fives. And then at the end, we would
go over the whole list.
Release the Kraken and go over the list of the top five that was voted on.
Okay.
By the community.
Now,
and us with tabulated results and whatnot.
For the record, we did it slightly different this year, and I think next year we're going to do it a little bit different.
Even
again.
More different?
Only because I would like the game of the year thing to be part of the Geekcast Radio Awards. And I have an idea on how to do that. Anyways, last year it was the four of us came up with the top five list, and the game that was on all of our list ended up being like the game of the year. This year, Danner assigned points to the various games on the list. So.
Which I think is a much better, more better, much better. I don't know. This system seems to be better than what we did last year.
So. Some would even say it's a special system.
Special!
Anyway,
so Mike, I defer to you if you want to start with your number five.
I will start with my number five. My number five, and I was thinking about this. I was debating on whether or not I should actually change my list and put this higher, but I decided to leave it where it was, just on the off, just because it didn't. While it has the same. I put it on the list for the same reasons I put my number one on the list. It shares a lot of the similarities for the reasons on the list, but it didn't stick with me as long as the other games on the list have. Like the story hasn't. But number five for me is Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
That was him winging on that.
That was my review of Brothers.
That's not fair. That's really not fair.
Satisfying and relieves pressure.
See, I didn't care. I mean, I don't want to say I didn't care for the story. I don't have a brother, really. So the story didn't really grab me. I didn't find it. It didn't rub me the wrong way like it did some people. I found the game more interesting from the gameplay aspects of it. I felt like outside of the puzzles that the game wants you to solve, I felt just the way the controls were set up is that the entire game,
oh yeah,
all the gameplay is a giant puzzle.
Most definitely. And the second you stop thinking is when you mess up.
Yeah, and it's like I found myself the more I was actually thinking about what I was doing is when
weird,
you screwed
up. Have to like just like let your hands do it, but then you start thinking about it. And you're like, oh wait, and then you concentrate, and then you mess up, then you let go, and you're like, oh god, now it's all gone terribly wrong.
And it's really an exercise in hand eye coordination to know how good you may or actually may not be.
Was I just insane, or when you moved one brother to the right side of the screen and the other brother to the other side of the screen and then let go of the joysticks and then put your thumbs back on them, that it reoriented, like the left joystick would control the one on the left side of the screen?
Nope.
And one on
No.
My hands never left the thumbstick, so I have no idea.
Left thumbstick was always the older brother, right thumbstick was always the younger brother.
Okay.
Well, and for some reason, for me, I always felt it should have been the other way around, and I don't know why.
Is it you read left to right?
I guess, but I don't know. Felt the youngest brother should be on the left and the right. The older brother should have been on the right.
Wait a minute. You think the older brother should have... So the older brother was on the left?
Uh-huh.
I didn't really look at it as which one was which on which stick. But I guess if you're thinking about it that way, I would still think the older brother should be on the left, because the left is kind of your dominant directional hand in video games.
I know, but for some reason, I don't know. I just...
That game broke all kind of intuition just by the way that controlled. It's one of the reasons that I picked it up, wanted to play it for Game of the Year, but I was more frustrated with it than and I just haven't gone back to it. I will, but as frustrating as it was for me to play and try to get a grasp on, there's no way it'd be on this list.
I picked it up real quick, and it's really it's only like a 3-hour game, if that.
It's a one sitting kind of game.
And I'm wondering, you guys played it on PS3, correct?
That's yeah.
Okay. Yes. I played it on my Mac with a 360 controller. So I'm kind of wondering, because I know, Joe, sometimes you have issues with the PS3 controller.
Yep.
Unless it's growing on you.
Nope.
I'm wondering if that may have had something to do with it. Because I didn't have, like I said, I didn't have any issues with the controls. In fact, you know, my favorite mechanic in the game, bar none, is the swinging mechanic.
When they were connected by the ropes?
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
There's just something very rhythmic about that, where it's like left trigger, right trigger, left trigger, right trigger. It was very satisfying, and I felt like the entire game was just like a... And it does defy what you know about video games, because we've talked recently in the past about like video game language and stuff like that, and that's not... This game doesn't have really any of that.
I will say one part, though, is when you're in the boat controlling the paddles...
Mm. Yeah.
I had trouble with that until in my head I thought of the boat as a tank and me controlling the treads of the tank. It's okay. The only way I could get through it. I kept running into that stupid fish.
Hmm.
Like 4 times in a row, I just couldn't do it until I had to like stop and just like think about like bubbles, avoid them, and steer and think in my head like I was steering like a tracked vehicle.
I don't know that there was any moment in the game that I think I may have failed once in the swinging, but I don't think I failed anywhere else, because the swinging mechanic is like if you start thinking about the game, you'll just fall and die.
The swinging one just came real natural. It just felt right.
It did, but it's one. But we were just talking about how if you started thinking about what you were doing, like that, and you end up with your like fingers crossed on the controller or whatever. But that was the only place I remember dying in the game. I don't remember dying anywhere else. So, that's not my number 5 is Brother, A Tale of Two Sons. And it's only there because I feel like the game didn't have any baggage to it. It was exactly what it was, and there was no like fluff or frills to it. Like they had a nice story laid out, and the mechanics fit the adventure that they were sending you on. Which is something that as you go higher up the list, you'll see that they're or other games that set out to be something and then they weren't that, which is what my next game is on the list. But anyways, that's my number 5.
Joe?
I had to look at the Wikipedia page for all of the games that came out, because I, for the life of me, couldn't come up with any. And after looking at that list, I realized that I only liked 4 games last year. And so... My number 5 is a game that I don't exactly like and haven't played all that much.
Payday 2,
but it's
isn't it?
The 5th game that I played. It's Payday 2.
You murderous bastard.
It's the and it did it was a very positive experience that I had. It's not at all a quality game. It does not belong on anybody's top 5, but it just happened to have been the 5th new game that I played this year.
So in other words, the 60 minutes Joe spent with a game got it number 5 on the list.
An accident that it ended up on the list, because I hate so many games.
He just enjoys killing bank tellers.
It's pretty much that by default.
That's the word I was looking for. It got on by default because, yes.
Joe, wait, what do you do for a profession again? You couldn't think of the word default?
He's an art teacher, not an English teacher.
He's a teacher. I don't care what guy.
It was caught on my back tooth. I couldn't get it out my mouth.
Yeah, I'm sure that's not the first thing to be stuck in your mouth.
So, Sean, you're number 5.
My number 5.
Saints Row 4.
No, it's not. I didn't put Saints Row 4 on my list.
What? Wow.
I was told I wasn't allowed.
Mind blown. You found 5 other games to put on a list.
Yes, I did. I'm going to put number 5, even though it
Payday
didn't...
2.
No, not Payday 2. I played it like for 5 seconds with people that weren't talking. Not nearly as fun. It was a game. It missed one thing that I really wish it had, which was
online multiplayer, but I put Lego Marvel for 5 because that all the Lego games are fun. Adding superheroes just makes it even funner.
We just wanted it to be Ultimate Alliance with Legos.
We did.
And it, I mean, co-op, like couch co-op, it is that. But the lack of an online is just, and it was one of those things, if we had realized and looked back at every other Lego game and realized none of them had that, we'd have been fine.
Lego Star Wars, a complete edition, had online.
Yeah, I think that's the only one.
That's the only one.
I think we were just expecting more out of it, given that it was getting like I was expecting the PS4 and the Xbox One version to at least have online play. So that's one that I really wish
I liked, and I want to play it again now that I know you can turn that goofy split screen thing off that slides around.
You can come over and play it at my house, Joe.
Sweet.
Danner.
All right. My number 5. And it was not originally my number 5. I actually ended up shuffling my list around. Because originally I had Tearaway at number 5. But after spending some 60 hours with the game, I decided that I felt Assassin's Creed 4 deserved to be my number 5.
Yay!
Because I just had a hell of a lot of fun with that game, and I just really, really liked it.
Would Assassin's Creed 4 have made the list if you had played the PS3 version? Do you think?
I think so.
Okay.
Wait, which
just because did you play it on? I had the PS4 version.
Okay. So was the PS3 one better than the PS4?
No, he's just talking. He's basically thinking my entire thing's based off graphics.
No, I'm just wondering, like, if you think, like, you can't deny that the graphics definitely help.
I think the graphics definitely help, but I think I think it was a huge step up to Assassin's 3.
Okay.
Yeah, and the graphics on the next-gen systems look amazing, but they don't look horrible on the current gen.
But there's
something
to be said about, you know, a locked frame rate in those games. So yeah. I was just curious if...
To be honest, I don't know. I can't speak for the PlayStation 3 version. But on the Xbox One, the only time I had any trouble frame rate was very recently, and it happened one time.
Yeah, but the problem is, does it have... I'm just talking about like a consistent frame rate versus the... Where Assassin's Creed 3, it would be 30, which, and then it'd be 60, and then it'd be 30, and then 60.
On the PS4, it had a consistent
difference. Yeah, that's pretty much what
it didn't get that, frame rate increase thing that you got in Assassin's 3 all the time.
By the way, I kind of figured out why frame rate is actually so important, and I don't know. I knew this and then I forgot it, but the reason it's important in gaming is that's how many times the console asks the controller for input.
What you've done,
and so you can have a 60 frame per second game that looks like it's 30 frames per second, just so they can maintain a certain style rather than having that hyper fluidity. But yeah, it's all about controller pulling the controller for information. Anyways, that's just a side note.
Yeah, it's supposed to be for like precision gaming and stuff. Like say you're a sniping or something, you want to be able to pick up every tiny little flick of the stick.
Mm-hmm.
And say it picks up like once every half a second. Now, if you do two moves within that half a second, it only catches one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if it pulls 100 times a second, then it's every time you move it, it's more responsive.
So anyways.
Go for it.
When I played Assassin's Creed 4 on PS3, it was after I had played Arts on PS4. I didn't notice anything going down, and playing it, I haven't noticed any frame rate issues. Looks beautiful enough to me that I'm excited to eventually finish the game. I have to acquire it, I think, but I think I would notice it going up if I went over to Arts now and played Assassin's Creed 4. I'd be like, oh. There's lighting and reflections and lightning in the storm, but I was completely I was not looking forward to it because I don't care a lick about pirates, and I didn't have any fun on the ship combat in Assassin's Creed 3. But I wanted ninjas. I mean, like ninjas
we wanted
are
ninjas
assassins.
The first game,
exactly. So that's really why it was mostly pissed. But you know, I still don't care about pirates. But Assassin's Creed 4, when you first get your ship and you're rolling in the giant storm, escaping those ships, I was like, okay, this is cool. I want more of this. I want to get back on the boat. I want to get back on the boat. And then I went to Nassau and it slowed down, and that's about
Nassau.
But
yeah,
it's like good.
NASA's fun.
Yeah, they I guess they include that part as still part of the opening, like the opening tutorial, pretty much, yeah. Until you get past that.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I figured, that after that part, it let me
do you can go island to island, whatever you want. Yeah, there's no, with the exception of mission specific areas, there's nothing that's really locked off to you.
That's awesome.
So, Mike, you're number four.
Number four is Skyoshock, also known as Bioshock Infinite.
I had a feeling you were gonna say Skyoshock.
This is kind of like how, you know, I always said, like, Brothers was a really, it was really a no frills. It knew exactly what it was going to be from the get go. I feel like Bioshock, of the games that I played this year, it started out as one thing, and that one thing, like for me, I think Danner, you know, the world building draws you in, and the minute they give you a gun, like the game changes. Like there's three points in which the game changes, but for me, the game was the most interesting before you actually get a gun.
Yeah.
So you get a gun and it instantly becomes a first person shooter. And then when you save Elizabeth, then it becomes, you know, a first person shooter with like time travel mechanics. And so much of what the game was like setting up early on either gets lost in at least in my opinion, it gets lost in the hubbub of switching between, you know, dimensions and all this other stuff. And while it was really pretty to look at and it was a lot of fun, it just didn't, it, you know, number four isn't a bad spot, a bad place to be, but it just kind of fell flat. I mean, we've talked about this a lot over the past year with Bioshock, just not, you know, the messaging gets lost. They don't allow you to spend enough time in a dimension to actually figure out what, you know, is exactly different about that era and stuff like that, and you kind of lose track of where you are and what's actually happening. It just becomes like a roller coaster ride right up until the end where it gets interesting again. You're kind of along, like there's the world building in the beginning of the game, and then there's like the roller coaster middle, and then there's the exposition all at the end of the game. You're just kind of along for the ride in the middle of it.
Well, and I think
it
did,
as soon as you got that gun out, it became on rails, basically. You had a path, a place to go, and
And even when you pick up Elizabeth, it becomes you're still on rails. It's just, oh, now you can point at that thing and bring in hooks from another dimension, or it's very much on rails until they just start dumping exposition on you again at the end. And yeah, you do pick up like the Vox recorders and stuff like that, and you learn a little bit here and there about that stuff, which, you know, I do applaud Bioshock for the recordings, which is something that I will knock the number two on my list for when we get there, but I just feel like it was a really well made game, but they just kind of, it wanted to be too many things instead of just something like really great. It was good. It wasn't great. So,
yeah, I was completely underwhelmed by it, and I don't know. I'm cynical and cranky. I was so underwhelmed by it that I played several hours of that, and Payday 2 still made my number five, while this one did not. It's beautiful in the beginning. I did enjoy the bits before the gun. I wasn't exactly sure where the plot was going with it. Like, I didn't know how much the character knew or how much I was missing because I wasn't paying attention, or I thought I was paying attention, but apparently not. And then as soon as you get the gun, it becomes a really, really mediocre first-person shooter. Mm-hmm. And then things happen so quick. So many of those cop guys are coming at you that you don't get to enjoy the world anymore. It took that away from me. I wanted to stop and smell roses again and look at the pretty statues. But
And the little things that are shape-shifting around you as you walk by them? You didn't notice any of that.
Maybe I didn't notice that. I noticed the robot vending machines. Those were interesting.
There was I think when you're on your way to the fairground area, mm-hmm. I think there's a statue on the right that changes as you walk past it.
Huh.
Isn't that right, Danner?
I don't recall that at all.
I don't remember it.
I'm pretty sure there's a statue on the right. It changes from, I think it changes from a guy to a girl or from a girl to a guy. And it's not like it's a hologram or anything. It actually just physically changes. So that's one of the things I noticed before you go up there and you have to choose whether or not to throw the baseball or the stone or whatever it is. But yeah, you never really get to see, unless the game explicitly tells you, you never get to see that stuff again.
I can't believe I'm friends with you people.
I have a question. Okay, you come up to the poster and it says, "Beware the Antichrist," or whatever they call him. He's got this number on his hand, and then your character puts his hand up in front of him and says, "Well, I have that." And he shows that he has the number on his hand, but they don't, at least in the beginning, right then. He doesn't explain that. Did he? Was he born with that hand on his number? Did he?
They explain it like as they go through the story, like, because it's kind of like, why does this guy have the number that I have? And then you learn why he has it.
Yeah, it would have, I don't know, unless it wasn't possible for them to tell me without ruining the story. I see that number on my hand and the character should say something like, "Whoa, dude, that's that burn I got from fixing my dad's car," or "That's when those bullies held me down and carved my arm." I wanted to know what he was
what
thinking.
What kind of bullies do you have, Joe? Jesus.
I don't know, but I wanted to know what that meant to him, or I don't remember having that.
I know what Joe's saying. You were playing as a character. You were playing as an actual, like, you weren't playing as an avatar of yourself. You were actually playing a character moving through the world. And as he was discovering things, the game wasn't relaying to you the stuff that he already knew about himself.
Exactly.
And
did he even know that this place existed when he's going up there?
I don't think he knew it existed.
But I think it's one of those things people have heard of it, but he didn't know what it was.
I think the difference is like a game like Skyrim, where you're playing a nameless character and you put yourself in that role. Mm-hmm. Whereas this is like, you know, you expect him to, he already to know knows things about himself, but you don't know those things. And it's kind of I can see how that would be frustrating.
And so I can't tell what's important and what's not.
For me, I just kept barreling forward because I liked what was happening. I just think other games were better this year. So,
yeah, I'll never get the BioShock series. It's like high school ethics class. I'm snooty and read philosophy books level story with really mediocre first person shooters. It's like, okay, I get it. You're a cynic and you're not a capitalist. That's okay.
They crafted a beautiful world, but they didn't let you play in it.
They do, exactly. And that was a problem with part one, too. I wanted to walk around all that underwater stuff, but it was, that was too scary. But this one just didn't let me do it at all.
Yeah. All right, before Danner's head explodes, let's move on.
Sorry, Danner.
Shonzi, what's your number four?
My number four was State of Decay. Anyone who didn't know, Xbox Live Arcade game, or whatever they're calling it. I think they're still called that. Really cool. It's a zombie survival game, not really a horror game so much, but I dug it. It's a really good time waster. They're single player only. I really enjoyed playing it. I don't know if any of you guys even play it at all.
I haven't, but I was gonna ask, is it a roguelike game like Faster Than Light is, where every time you start it up you're starting as a new character, or is it like you can save and come back later?
No, it's not like if I like go back right now and play, mm-hmm. I can play as whatever guy.
Okay, you don't, same character.
Yes and no. You start off as a guy. You pick a guy, right? And he can or cannot be the leader, whatever you want. You go through. That guy can die, and you just take control for another one of your survivors. You don't have to control him. You can control someone else.
Okay. All right.
You lose when your survivors, when you're whatever, you can't survive in the game anymore. Your guys have exhausted all their resources. Or, you know, zombies have invaded your little area and killed everybody.
Okay.
Whatever. I've
been debating on playing games like trying out Rust or DayZ.
Rust, I've heard such amazing things. And I've heard such amazing things. And then I've also heard some amazingly horrible things.
Yeah.
Not about the game, about demonic people.
Yeah.
And I've heard the trick to that game is if you're going to play by yourself, don't. That the game increases exponentially in fun with the more friendly players you're playing with. People, even if you meet them in the game or go on lobbies and find some people to play with, you know, because you start, it's that, that's one of those games. So you start off with nothing,
right?
And you have to build yourself up. So if some guy who's been building himself up for, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks comes out, over to you when you've just started. I think you start with a rock, and they have guns.
So, anyways, but your number four is not
four
anything
was
like
state,
that.
Was state of decay? Not really.
Okay,
it's not. It's much more simple. They kind of wanted it to have that Daisy feel. They kind of wanted to make it a more forgiving and approachable Daisy. From what I heard, never knew if it was official or not, but they wanted multiplayer for some reason, couldn't do it. I don't know what the holdup was. There was always hope for that to happen. Never happened. But it's kind of like
now that Microsoft owns it, they'll get it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I doubt if they do, it'll be – I don't think it'll be State of Decay. It'll be whatever they call it on Xbox One. I don't think they'll call it State of Decay 2. They'll probably just change it to whatever.
State of Decay Online.
S-O-D-A or S-O-D-O rather because I'm stupid.
Soda.
Soda.
or pop.
Would you like to play soda?
But it wouldn't be soda because soda ends with an A.
Oh, Soda. That's right. Why? Yeah. But soda sounds better.
Sod.
Soda.
All right. Joe?
My number four was Assassin's Creed 4, which we've already discussed. I've been a big fan. 3 let me down. 4 and that wonderful bit with the ocean brought it back. Also on the list kind of by default because I did not play that many games, but it is good and I think it's quality. So that one actually might deserve to be on that list.
Danner?
Yeah. Now, this game showed up on many, 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 many people's lists. Yet I'm the only one who ranked it down as far as I did compared to everybody else. And I'm sure this won't be the last time this gets brought up. But my number four was Gone Home.
I wish I could have played that.
I wish you could have too, Joe.
I really like the game. I didn't like it as much as I liked other things. But it is just a beautiful, great game that just has the most eerie atmosphere and just the sound, like the sound design and the atmosphere and the story, just everything works together so well.
Does just, that game get scary or is it just sad?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, would you say it gets scary or would you say it gets like eerie?
Yes.
I mean,
it runs the gamut of emotion.
Yeah. Did it make you feel like you were a lesbian teenager?
Yes, it did.
Yes.
It did.
So, yes, number four is Gone Home. Mike, number three for you.
Number three for me was Tomb Raider. One of the things that's going that with the exception of Brothers being at number five, as the list gets higher, one of the things that I actually kind of noticed was gameplay getting out of the way of I just had it in my head when Danner was talking about Gone Home. It was that the gameplay doesn't outstrip the narrative or the story that's trying to be told. There isn't just gameplay thrown in for the sake of it being there, and the game doesn't break down just because the gameplay doesn't break down when the narrative is being really strong. And as we get higher up the list, that becomes more and more apparent, with the exception of Brothers being number five, which is why I said it should be higher. Tomb Raider, the issues I had with Tomb Raider were just like the gamification of everything, which was, you know, we had a conversation on this podcast about Tomb Raider when it happened, which is just, you know, it has that Arkham thing going for it, where it's
unstoppable killing machine.
It's just easier to point out what's wrong with the game than it is to say all the stuff that's just good about
it. It's a
the
shorter
game.
List of what's wrong than what's right.
Yeah.
Significantly.
Like I still, like even playing the definitive edition on the PS4, like I still laugh every time I go and burn a net to get a wooden box out of it. I just, to this day, I can't imagine how
that indestructible, indestructible.
I just assume that all the ropes are soaked in kerosene on the island,
and all of the
just burn
the boxes are soaked in like some kind of flame retardant material.
Exactly,
you're putting way too much work into it. But see, I can't help but laugh every time that happens, and I can't get past the fact that Lara is an unstoppable killing machine from the minute she gets a bow. And that even playing again, that is just that immediately that is what happens. And the minute you get the murder stick, it's all over. And by the murder stick, I mean, you get your axe, which eventually becomes a climbing axe. And they give you so many vicious combos that I'm like live streaming it right now for, TFG One Mike on, you know, Geekcast Radio to watch it. And some other people, and I very rarely will I use the guns. Like, I'll use the bow if I'm just sneaking around and trying to avoid combat. But the minute like I trigger like a combat event and the guys just start streaming in, I just switch to the axe and I'm like an assassin. Like, I will just run into a crowd of guys and just start mashing the triangle button, and she'll move from guy to guy to guy, jamming that axe into their skull. And that
like
just
you do.
Like the trans, like I get what they were trying to do with the game, with the story. They were trying to tell you like she was this innocent being, but like, just there's so much baggage associated with the character that she is another Batman character when it comes to video games. Like, you can't, there is no level of peril that you can put Lara Croft into that I'm going to buy.
You know, I don't remember Batman shoving a spike into someone's face, though.
But I'm just saying, like, they try to put her in this in peril, and I don't buy it, because she's the character of her has so much baggage. It's like when we talk about how when I played Arkham Asylum, I was freaked out. You know, there was a moment where I bought into the atmosphere of going down into the morgue and everybody had the demonic eyes.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what the heck am I worried about? I'm freaking Batman. It's that same thing with Lara Croft. Like, I didn't buy it from the get go. And I think that the story is just good enough to get you from the beginning of the game to the end. But it's the gamification of everything that just kills it. Like, all the collectibles. And don't get me wrong, I know that collectibles are a part of Tomb Raider, and every time I see a little flashy thing or a chest, I have to go over and click on it. But as we said on the podcast a year ago, the problem I have with it is the wall of text that pops up. And the one thing that I will applaud Bioshock Infinite on and the Bioshock series on is that when you collect something like that, they just put like a little audio recorder down in the corner, and you can listen to it while you go on about your day. I really wish Tomb Raider had adopted that. Because I just, you know, I even while I'm streaming it, like I pick up an item, that wall of text comes up. I'm like, nope. And I hit the circle button and back out to the gameplay. I'm like, I'm not going to sit here and read this or have it read to me. If it's something important, you'll tell me it in the game. But, you know, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying playing it again. But it's, you know, kind of jarring to see how much of a murderer she is. And she's she's more vicious about it than Drake is, because Drake doesn't have a knife or an axe to, you know,
get up and close and personal
to eviscerate people with, and she does. So
I missed this on the list of 2013 games, because this would have been my real number five. I enjoyed Tomb Raider quite a bit, going on her journey. And yeah, the journey goes from kind of this first 45 minutes of the game where I don't want to kill anybody, I want to kill, to switch to switch, but she's a murderer. I can see that, but I bought that first 45 minutes enough to not care about how jarring the rest of it was. Enjoyed it quite a bit. That's my real number five, but I didn't know that, so don't do any math, Art.
I did like the one
thing
I heard
it wouldn't
people,
change anything.
The one thing I heard from people that played it is that Like you're saying, like, guys really aren't a threat. The only threat to her is really the environment.
Yes.
The only and thing the only thing in that game that makes you feel tense and like, holy shit, I'm falling down or whatever, or fell on a spike or whatever.
The
like
environment
that
is what will kill you more often than the guys will. And even the guys that come at you with like shotguns or machine guns, if I can like scurry around them, like I will run at them with my axe. Like, I'm not gonna sit behind a wall and cower and try and shoot them. I will like, you know, do the dodge mechanic and try and get around them and just jam them in the back of the skull with the axe. And
those big armored dudes, they gave me trouble.
I mean, the first 45 minutes, yeah, because they're really laying on it thick with the story. But as soon as, I mean, and I know what was being implied and I know the peril that she was in, but as soon as the guy more or less, you know, brushes the hair out of her face and she blows his head off, like, it's over. Like, from that point on, she's a murder machine. And that's just something, you know, it's like the narrative dissonance thing that everyone's talking about with gaming. And I did notice, I don't know if it's been so long, Joe or Danner, since you guys have played it, but do you remember the scene early on when she's like hiding from the guys that are looking for her and the guy walks by and he comes back and he grabs her?
Yeah.
And there's that quick time event. When I did it this time on the PS4, I was going through the quick time motions and it was telling me to hit the last thing it wanted me to do is hit triangle.
Yeah.
But instead of hitting triangle, I pulled the right trigger, which is the gun. And I blew his head off.
Ooh.
What happened? When you hit triangle, does she just like punch him or something? Like,
I think so.
Cause yeah, I was just sitting there cause she's like trying to move the gun towards his head. And I saw I saw the green triangle, but I just pulled the trigger. And for some reason it popped out at me as more graphic than what I remember it being, but that could be any number of things, given that it's the definitive edition. But I was just curious if you guys remembered how that scene played out. So
nope, not anymore.
I'm sure if it is different though, there'll be a Google comparison or something.
But that is my that's my number three.
Sean?
My number three, we've already talked about it, was BioShock Infinite.
Moving on up.
It was one of those games I was really, really into. We were talking constantly. It's always good that when a single player game is good enough, you will still get into a party or Skype or whatever with your friends to talk about what you're playing separately.
You and I are the only ones that did that.
I don't care.
I mean, the only ones
that matter.
You know, BioShock is also the only game that we've done a spoiler cast on.
Yes.
It was the only game with a shocking enough twist at the end.
I think it's also the only game that we all played, with the exception of Joe, this last year, so we were able to talk about it.
Just because we care more
about it. So it's the only game we all played, with the exception of one of us. That list, that's like half the games this year.
Yeah, you're probably right. I don't waste my time with garbage.
Ouch. I don't waste your time with most things.
time is precious. That ukulele ain't going to learn itself.
Anyways, BioShock Infinite.
Joe, you're number three.
But I didn't know if Shaunzy was done.
Oh, I mean, I don't want to turn this into another
spoiler cast.
No, not a spoiler cast, but another like 10-minute long discussion on BioShock. Good game. I liked it. Was there problems with it? Yeah, that's why it's my number three. And not my number, you know, it's not higher, but definitely a game I enjoyed playing, and I do not regret pumping the hours into it that I did.
Okay.
Then again, I don't regret most pumping.
Joe.
Are we on number three?
Yep.
Yes.
DuckTales Remastered.
Woo! Woo.
Indeed!
I was hoping someone was going to pick that. Like,
I love the nostalgia of it. The nods to the old TV show, all of the original voice cast who's not dead came back for it. I have a weird sentimental spot for anything, whether I like the source material or not, where somebody comes back to it and does it with an extreme amount of love and respect. I like feeling that love and respect or watching it, you know, whether it doesn't matter what the I could watch somebody's tribute to vintage porn. Yeah, and like, okay, I see the love in it. I see the craft. I love this.
I can imagine what the subtitle for that movie would be, and it would be Under the Bush.
I was trying to think of what they called the stuff with like 50-year-old ladies. I can't remember.
What?
I don't want to know. The subgenre of older ladies.
Mature?
Yeah, I guess, sure. Mature porn. But
what are we talking about?
Can we keep going?
We were talking about DuckTales. Now we're talking about porn.
Granny porn at that.
So hey, like, they said they like the off-the-cuff stuff, so why don't we go down this road for a second?
No.
Off the cuff, not no. off the muff. Jesus.
Off the muff.
Certain things we should not touch.
Old 70s Bush is one of them.
All right, now I have a question. DuckTales Remastered. I didn't play it, obviously. Huh? Was this an old game that was remastered into this?
Yeah. Uncultured yeah. Swines.
Okay, so then how can it be a best game of 2013 if it's a...
Because they kind of redid a lot of it.
They came at it with extreme prejudice.
And Art, have you beaten it?
Yeah, I beat it in one sitting.
Okay. I can't do that. It's setting me up to, I think, where they may have added a level or two. Do you remember? Can you tell?
No, it seems like it was all the same.
Okay, because they didn't have the money bin. I've seen stuff in the concept art that I don't remember from the NES game. So I'm kind of like, wait, what's in there? But I think one of the reasons that this is so high on my list is because right at the same time I found some of the old 1980s Duck comics. I'm reading The Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck. That the Carl Barks, the guy who originally came up with Scrooge and wrote him, somebody after him came in, Don Rosa, and put all of his life events in chronological order and told his story. And that comic is done with love and respect for Carl Barks and his original source material. So I've been reading that and watching it ooze with love, and then I'm playing the video game at the same time watching it ooze with love. And so all of that just...
There's a lot of oozing going on over there.
It is. It's fantastic oozing. It's pleasant. I don't mind bathing in the discharge.
What the hell? Ugh, I will say, though, while we're talking about Scrooge, never has more a piece of my childhood died than when I was first, you know, I don't know if I thought of it or someone else thought of it or where, if it was just my own mind coming to that conclusion. Woo. That it's impossible. That it's impossible to dive into a, you know, like a pond of coins. That is not something I will ever be able to do in my life without snapping my neck.
That is
heartbreaking.
And it also just, one of the most satisfying parts of the game. They let you swim in the money bin.
Yeah.
It's so cool diving off, and then he comes up and spits the coins out, and you can swim.
But if Sean, if you need a pile of money to, you know, jump into and snap your neck in, I'll send you a box of pennies.
A box more of pennies. Than happy to. Okay. So, like, the postage on that alone would be ridiculous.
It might be more worthwhile just to drive it to you.
I was going to say, you might. Plus, you get the satisfaction of watching me.
Wait, no, that's not true.
Killed by pennies.
Wait a minute. No, you can get one of those boxes that's, if it fits, it ships.
Flat fee. Flat rate box.
Yes.
They'd be like, is this a terrorist weapon? Shink, 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 shink.
Sounds like a chainmail shirt.
Yeah.
I have one of those.
Why?
I made it.
Because he made it.
That doesn't answer my question.
Why not?
I could.
All right.
I can do lots of things that I don't do.
All right. My number three. Tomb Raider.
Woo!
Woo! Much like Mike with a little less malice, I really enjoyed the game and had a lot of fun with it. And I like collectibles in games.
I like them. I just think they could have been implemented better.
Yeah, well, it doesn't. The one thing I will say, digging against the game, is I did not like how when you collect stuff and they give you things to read, it just kind of takes you out of the pacing of the game.
I don't feel like pacing. I can read it right then.
Yeah. So that is really my only knock against the game. I haven't played and enjoyed a Tomb Raider game in a really long time. So to me, this was long overdue.
I can only hope Tomb Raider 2 is as good as Tomb Raider 2.
You just hope Tomb Raider 2 is as good as Tomb Raider 2?
Yep.
He's talking about the original Tomb Raider 2.
God.
So
why?
Tomb Raider 2 was good. It was like the last good Tomb Raider.
So, yeah. Mike, number two.
Number two. Anyone care to take a guess at what number two is?
What your number two is?
I know.
Most people should know what number one is here. So anyone care to take a guess at what number two is?
I know, but it wouldn't be fair.
It wouldn't be fair for you.
Oh,
you're taking too long. It's The Last of Us.
I'm going to go with Last of Us.
You're right.
Oh my God. You know what? I hear that all the time.
No, you don't.
You're right. I don't. It's so bad.
Yeah. Last of Us. Great story. Great looking game. I think it played really well. It got, the gamification of it wasn't as bad as, Tomb Raider. I like the progression system in it. I have my issues with the game were like the AI for
Ellie.
Sorry, it's been a long time since I played that game. Although I'm looking forward to the DLC.
But at least they did the smart thing of making her pretty much invisible to enemies.
Yeah, but that also breaks for me.
That's the cop out.
That breaks the immersion when I'm sitting there and I'm trying to hide from the clickers, and she runs out and jumps right in their face, and they don't react to her in any way, shape, or form. Like that kind of stuff really. And maybe it was the way that I approached the game, because I tried to stealth around the clickers. I never really engaged them because let's face it, you
kill
can't,
them, you pansy.
You can't really engage clickers. Especially when the really bad ones get on you, because it is instant death to a point, unless you have the right tools crafted. But
unless you happen to have a shiv.
Yeah. But you know, you have to have the shiv, and then I think you have to have the skill that allows you to defend yourself against them. I think the shiv allows you to stealth kill them. But if you're attacked by them, you have to have a special perk to be able to use a shiv to defend yourself. Otherwise, you just die instantly. But that is one thing where I think the gameplay didn't serve the narrative at all. Just from the AI's perspective, they were trying to do too much. And I'm hoping that's something that they're able to get a grasp on with all the extra horsepower they have with the next gen consoles. That and there were like the subtle graphical issues, not really graphical issues, but like you would clear out a guy, like an area, like I went through and stealth killed everybody in an area, and I found there was one guy still left, and I walked up, he was like, he had spawned floating in the air, and I was trying to sneak around him, and I came up behind him, and then he disappeared, and he spawned in the doorway right next to me, and he was like, I see him! And then all of a sudden, the area flooded with a bunch of guys again. After I had spent, like, 30 minutes, like, stealth killing everybody.
There teach were, you to be more careful next time.
The game shouldn't have guys floating in midair.
Well...
And then randomly move them.
The Houdini of bums.
Yeah. So, and I will say, the more terrifying than the clickers were the humans.
By far.
And winter was probably the best part of that game.
There was just everything about that game is just, man.
I mean, I didn't play nearly as much of it as you did. But I didn't like his, like, echo ability. Mm. I get it when you're facing into clickers. And then I don't know what you want to call them, infected?
Yeah, sure. Just clickers.
Yeah. But when facing the guys... It's just, it almost feels like cheating to be able to see their patterns from, like, the other side, like, you know, from two walls away. No one's hearing is that good.
Joel's is.
No, it's not.
You don't
yes,
know.
Yes, it is.
Joel I is do know. A very fit 40-year-old man.
Yes, because he works out so many muscles that his hearing gets better.
Yes. This is true.
No,
you didn't
it's
get to
not
that part true. In the story where they explain that he has a hearing aid.
That he has a super duper hearing aid that lets him hear through 17 walls.
It's cranked to 11.
I would say it's even crunked to 11.
Anyways, yeah, that's my number two.
That's one I'm going to have to try, but one of you is going to have to play it for me because it's probably scary.
There's only one part of that game that scared me, and I ran through it so fast because I was like, if I don't get past this part, I'm never playing it again. And I made a beeline. I saw exactly where I had to go, and I just made a beeline for it. And
where was it in the game?
It was in the the bottom of the hotel.
Is that towards the beginning of the game or towards
the
end?
Yeah, it's like the first half of the game.
Is that the one where you're crawling through where you first meet the when you first really start coming against the clickers and stuff? No.
Nope. So it's outside the tutorial stuff. So yeah, that's my number two.
All right, Sean, your number two.
Seems my number two is, I told you it's not anywhere on this list, and I was not lying. So shut your Danner horn
Halo
mouth.
4.
I didn't say it. It wasn't even me.
No, anytime someone has a whore mouth, it's a Danner's whore mouth.
Hashtag Danner's whore mouth.
Hashtag. Tell your friends.
Jason.
That's a hashtag I want to go viral.
It is.
Oh, trust me. Jason and Mike have been trying to make it happen.
Trying to make it trend. Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag is my number two. I always like the Assassin's games. I always have a lot of fun with them. The one part I always hate is going between large spans, like riding on the horse. I didn't get too much enjoyment out of that, moving between the big cities. But the boat, this is probably one of the first times I've spent more times away from the main cities than in the – didn't happen that much in the other games. I'm not like Mike and went crazy killing drummers and rabbits.
Bunnies, 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 bunnies.
You're a complete – you know what? You say stuff like that, and it makes me think you enjoyed every time your climbing axe went into somebody's head in lore.
I never said I didn't.
Yeah, you sick bastard.
I just said I didn't by her not enjoying it.
You just got to love the feeling of the tip when it just slides right in.
So smooth.
It's like, you know what's wrong with this axe? There's no skull wearing it.
That's a true statement. I have to find the next guy to put it in.
Such a whore. But
what I got, like, you gotta get put it in you.
I can't even believe you just said that.
Give it away now.
Why? Give it away. Give it away. Give it away.
Give it away now.
Anyways,
well, you gotta give it to your mama.
It's one of those games that. It has the collectibles just like everything else, but with this one, it looks like you collect all of the specific thing. Yeah, they're very special in their collectibility. Special. And you get certain individual things like I just got the – would you stop? Shut your Danner whore mouth.
He really wants you to stop talking.
I know, but I'm going to keep talking. So I just – like I – just unlocked the pistol swords the other day.
Oh god, those are fun.
They're fun, but one thing I did notice,
you don't get to use them as the way I would want to use them. But
you would rather like stab and be able to aim them and shoot. And
yes,
well, I knew that's not what you can tell by the description how it's like explosive finishes. I assumed it was going to be those when you need the last hit on a guy and the instant kill with them, where like you'll stab him through the throat and then shoot him right in the face.
Stab him and then shoot him right off the sword.
Yeah. The one thing I didn't expect is, I don't know if you've come across this yet, is say you're stealth killing people and you're using the sword, that gunshot will alert people.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. And then it was one of those things. I was attacking a plantation. I was doing all stealthy, and I got down to, there was four of the big axe guys, but they had their back to me. And so I snuck out and I walked up and I insta-killed a guy. And of course, what does he do? He stabs him through the back with both swords and then clicks and just blows him off of it. And all the other guys are like, at me. I'm like, well, shit. I wasn't trying to do that. Of course, now I have four of the most annoying enemies in the game. But it's so much fun. Definitely improvement over 3. I'm not going to turn this into, like last year with the Mass Effect.
Thank you.
But so Assassin's Creed 4.
Number two,
GTA 5. Because it's so big.
Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Enough said.
Joe, do you wish
loves to take it all in? He does.
Joe, do you wish you could do those mods where you can flood San Andreas or Los Santos?
Is that something that those PC nerds have that I am jealous of?
You can
of?
Do it. You have to have a hacked PS3 and you can do it.
I would enjoy doing things like that to my San Andreas if I
boy, then you can
could.
Use the least entertaining vehicle in that game, the watercraft. Ooh.
There's two – they did two mods, one where you can raise the water level and basically you can swim up to the top of the skyscrapers. Or you can –
Waterworld with Kevin Costner.
Pretty cool. Much. Or Or you can drain the water and go take dune buggies and ATVs through the seafloor.
That would be cool.
And the fact that there is even a seafloor to all that is really cool. I mean, the fact that they actually went through the point of mapping all that down. So if you got the mini suburb, or swimming, you can swim down to those parts. That's just really cool.
Yeah, there are lots of collectibles down there I haven't even thought about getting yet.
Please. I mean, like GTA 5, the single player was great. GTA Online is freaking amazing. That's the best part of it to me. I mean, I love
get back to that.
I've still got my fingers crossed for the PS4 version.
No, absolutely
only,
no.
Only because Danner has to buy it for me.
If you do that, then I'll never play with you again because you'll never go back to the PS3 version. This is too ugly. I can't play online with you, Joe.
That is probably what will happen.
It's okay. It's a Rockstar game. It'll still look ugly.
Exactly. It'll still look ugly. So
yeah, they're not made to look pretty.
They're made for functionality, not for looks.
I always come across new stuff in that game.
I won't even give them functionality because their UI is horrid. So
you're horrid.
Wars.
I can actually figure the UI from GTA 5 out. Borderlands has always been so awful. I never learned that.
What I mean about the UI is when they always give you the little tips in the world's smallest font in the upper left-hand corner when you're right in the middle of doing something and you never see it. Anyways.
Someone can't multitask.
Number two. For me. Is BioShock. Infinite.
Geez, the way you were going on, I thought it was your number one.
No. I was just groaning and moaning at you guys and pissing and crapping all over it. Just because of the fact that you're not patient and can't enjoy unfolding of a good story or a good mystery.
I didn't say that. It actually has to be a good story.
Hang on a second. I enjoyed it.
I love the story just fine. The way you play it is the best.
I like the way he just lumps us all in with Joe's opinions of the game.
Yeah, pretty much.
Fucking hipster Joe, bringing us all down, man.
You guys didn't way to ruin it. The you curve. Just let Joe crap all over it.
I agree with what he was saying.
I tried to get a word in edgewise earlier, and everybody just walks all over. Oh,
isn't
what
it really annoying when you're trying to talk
me.
About something, but or you want to talk about something, then someone else tries to be like meh, meh, meh.
Special. So I really enjoyed BioShock far more than you guys did.
Cool story, bro. On to the next one.
Keep going,
Mike. You're number one.
No, do you want to keep going on Infinite?
Oh no,
no. This is your chance. This is your chance.
No, this is fine. I'm done because nobody gives
a
crap.
You could ruin the ending for me because I'll never play it again.
School, all of us.
I'm right there with you. My top three were in a constant state of flux until 3 days ago. I didn't know where BioShock was going to be online. Because, like I said to Mike, it's very rare for me to play a single-player game and then want to talk to other people playing the game at the same time and play through it with them. And, oh, how was your game? What's happening to yours? Oh, my God, craziness. Oh, my God, that's my erection. Like, all this stuff going on.
Mike, you're number one.
My number one, for anyone playing along at home, is Gone Home. It's short. It's sweet.
Like his penis.
I feel like the one thing that I kept coming back to this entire list is gameplay and the narrative, and the gameplay in this is totally served up to the narrative. There is nothing in this game that does not belong there, like at all. Everything that you look at, everything that you interact with, or everything that you can interact with, just somehow informs the narrative, informs the story about what's going on or what happened in this house over the last year. And the atmosphere is both creepy and the story is I want Joe to play it, so I'm trying not to spoil really too much of it, but it's just
she's a lesbian.
It's so but that's like obvious from after you read like the first couple journal entries or whatever from the sister. So that's not really like a spoiler or anything, but
it's like the least biggest surprise ever.
I know. That's why I said that. There's she's a ghost,
but I can't say enough good things about this game.
They're all dead. She killed them. She just can't remember.
I can't say enough good things about this. If Joe wasn't able to make the Game of the Year podcast, I would probably talk about it some more, but I really want Joe to play it, so I don't want to spoil any of it for him. So, but yeah, Gone Home is my number one.
Sean,
why did you say it like that?
He's just mad at me.
Sean, he's just mad because he can't masturbate with his hand yet.
There's nothing wrong with his right hand.
That one's pre-op, man. He's got to keep it limber. He's got to not use it so much. He's got to rest that.
Could
hand.
You just talk about your stupid number one?
Why? It's not stupid.
He's peeing.
My number one is GTA 5.
Like, hey, all right. Head
desk.
What?
Nothing.
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you over the sound.
Stupid number one.
What was that? It's not a stupid number one.
Joe, you're number one.
My number one.
Bunch of assholes. Y'all just a bunch of assholes.
Y'all bunch of assholes.
So you.
Joe's number one's far more interesting.
Link Between Worlds for the 3DS for making me feel like a 13-year-old boy again.
You know what? With all of your sexual innuendo and then ending up with a 13-year-old boy, I'm really concerned, Joe.
It made my skin really soft. What else? Oh, God.
The proteins will do that for you, Joe.
It's that natural lotion.
Yeah.
Man, I got to drink Mountain Dew on podcasts more often. This is fun.
I love how Joe's reaction to Mountain Dew is the same as Danner's reaction to vodka. It's the exact same outcome.
My fingertips are tingling.
Mine are too, but that's because of nerve damage.
They're tingling, but I just can't feel them. Anyways.
Yeah, Link Between Worlds was awesome. It made me actually play a video game again instead of just kind of sitting by passively. I had to engage parts of my brain I hadn't since holding a Super Nintendo controller in my hand. And also, it comes back to that theme, oozing with love, tribute to the original team, kind of coming back to the same world. I dig that stuff.
Yeah, when a game makes him think like two brothers, he hates it.
Joe, I just have to ask a question. All this creepy shit you're saying, you're wearing pants right now, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, the image in my head, I just have this horrible imagery of whatever you're doing to your ukulele at the moment, and I don't know.
It's on the floor. I can't reach it.
Ukulele is what he called his penis. I didn't think he actually bought a ukulele. I thought he was just talking about his dick a lot.
Yeah, he loves strumming it. Well, I was not in silence for a second.
Fine tuning. So I'm the last one to do number one, right?
Last of Us?
Yeah, Last of Us.
Well, that's a dumb game. Moving on.
So I really liked Last of Us much for the exact same reasons that Mike liked it. I enjoyed the characters and the atmosphere and the music and how it was more advertised to be like a game where you're fighting these infected people, and that's not really what the game ends up being. It ends up being that the infected are just kind of there, and humanity is the more dangerous enemy in the world.
It's more like, was it The Walking Dead, way after infestation?
The infected are an obstacle, but the humans are the enemy.
Yeah,
they're more like a natural disaster.
It's like they're unpredictable. You know what the infected are going to do. That they're going to do what they do. The humans, they can do whatever. You don't even know.
They can teleport. And
hey, wait! You guys have PS4s. I could borrow that from you. I checked the price of it used.
You can totally take mine.
Sweet dude.
He said
thanks.
Take. That implies keeping forever.
I wouldn't keep it.
My games are Joe's games.
Just letting you know, he's probably going to rest it on his ukulele. Do you really want it back?
That's fine. I've already arrested my uke on it multiple times.
I love how he calls it a uke. Right. Why does that make it so much creepier?
Actually, it kind of sounds very similar to eunuch.
You know, the pieces are starting to fall into place.
Yes. But yeah, I loved Last of Us. Pretty much that was by far my favorite gaming experience of 2013.
All right. Well, so now that we've gone through our top five, now we get to go through the voted top five.
Now, I will definitely say about the voted top five that we have talked about every single game in the top five.
Well, that's what I was going to say. We probably don't have to.
We don't really have to say much.
There's not going to be a lot to say.
I will, as per Sean's request, I'll be nice enough to give we'll do the honorable mentions first, the ones that were very close to cracking. There's two that were very close to cracking the top five, but didn't quite make it. And actually, one of them we haven't even talked about.
Do you have enough to do like 10 through 6?
I could do 10 through 6. Yeah, we could do 10 through 6. Okay. So we could do the five that almost made it.
The five top contenders and then the five champs.
Let me see. Give me just a second.
He's got to read. It takes.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a break, and when we come back on the other side, then we'll be back.
Ah, brave new world that has such putzes in it.
The Pullbag is GCRN's comic book review and discussion-based podcast. Join me, your host, TFG and Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we make our way through the comics we are reading. Inside the Pullbag, you'll also find back-issue classics and origins episodes of how we got into comic reading. You can find the Pullbag every Wednesday on iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Make your great escape into comics and jump into the Pullbag today.
Oh, yeah. But think of the fun.
Yeah. Give me so, Danner, why the GTA hate? What the hell, man?
It's for the same reason he's quasi-hating on Titanfall.
Why?
He's moved on to the PS4, and it's not on the PS4 yet.
Oh, I am sorry.
It's not good enough for me.
This was the most tricky top five like I've ever had to pick, because this year pretty much my only gaming has been on Xbox, and you know I couldn't do XCOM because that's
cool story,
you know,
bro.
Fuck you and your Tanner whore mouth.
Give me 1 second when you guys argue amongst each other. I'll be right back.
All right, and I mean couldn't do Diablo. So this is actually very hard, like. And not in the same way that Joe's penis is hard.
Gross. Completely I don't different. Think I want to do 10 through 6.
Why? Which games popped in?
There's a tie for 10. COD Ghosts and Link Between Worlds. Because, by the way, Joe's the only person who voted for Link Between Worlds.
I think I'm probably the only person.
Because
he's the only person who voted for Link, and it tied for 10th.
Because of the fact that it was because it was a number one vote, so it got 5 points.
Oh yeah.
Where three people voted for Ghost,
but it was never one. Yeah. I don't know, Ghost. I mean, it's a good game, but until Call of Duty does something crazy, it's not going to be on my top fives for a long time. I did enjoy the single player of that actually. So.
I totally forgot Diablo came out this year.
The computer one didn't, though. Didn't the computer one
come out? It was just the console one.
Yeah, just
the console. Yeah, you told me I wasn't allowed to do it because the actual game itself did. Only the port came out
this
year.
Was that one of them? What? Really?
Wolf Among Us would have been on this list if the rest of the parts would have come out.
Diablo 3 would have been on mine if I was allowed to pick it, but I asked you like weeks ago, and you said nope.
I think
because the original
somebody already voted for Diablo 3, so it was on my list.
Wolf Among Us and Wolf Among Us and The Walking Dead Season 2 will be eligible for 2014.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. So we're doing whenever those multi-part ones, whenever the last one comes out, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Whenever you can buy the complete
edition.
Set. Yeah.
Okay.
Watch,
are we ready?
I'll come out till 15 now.
Are we ready?
And we're back, and Danner has his, well, now it's like a top 10.
Oh, but yeah, we'll do top 10. Top five really count, but
yeah, we'll run through the last five. Is honor the 10 through 6 are honorable mentions.
Tied for 10.
Ooh.
Injustice
is no Legend of Zelda Link Between Worlds and Call of Duty Ghosts.
You all need to go buy a 3DS and play that game. Not you three, but all of you listeners.
Joe, I want to, but every time I ask you about it, you intimidate me into not buying it.
Why is that? How?
Yes.
Because you're like, I don't know if you could actually get through it because you haven't played the original one.
You're smart. You'd figure it out.
See? That's the first time you've said that.
Assumptions. You're going to bust your head against
other times it's been like, it's been, Yeah, you have to be good at playing games.
You're not going to understand the
mechanics, so. And I'm like, you don't think I'm good at playing games? Thanks, asshole.
I don't think I wouldn't have said good at playing games. I think there are mechanics that you learn in Link to the Past that if you haven't been exposed to, that you wouldn't know how to work the thing in this one.
So what you're talking is if you never
Mike
played
has a
harder
hard time
game,
working his thing. That was all I heard out of that.
I don't have to work my thing. I have a wife.
But I would be.
She doesn't have to work that thing either.
Oh yes, she does.
You put does a ring on it. These? She ain't gonna do anything.
Yes, she does.
I'm gonna tell her you said that.
I tell her that all the time. She can hear me. She's in the next room. She can hear me.
Hi, Allie.
Well, Mike, it would be a fantastic experience to see what your opinion of the game is, or if you encounter anything like that. How long does it take you to do this dungeon sort of thing? But I really want to watch my wife
when he was 12.
Well, then I will definitely grab it then. I'll make it a point to grab it.
All right. Anybody got to say anything about COD Ghosts?
Mike wants to grab it and choke.
There's nothing to say about Ghosts. It's Call of Duty.
I know.
It's like I was like I
Sean,
was
you say that, what you were going to say, because that was awesome what you said.
What I said is until Call of Duty does something, oh my God, crazy. It's they're always going to be Call of Duty games. They're always going to be fun until it does something crazy. Oh my God, amazing. It's never going to be in my top five. Never. There's nothing it can do.
That's kind
it
of should never that's be kind in of why I asked five. If anybody actually had anything to say about it, because
I mean, unlike Mike, I enjoy the single player of those games, but they're never going to be like, oh my God, this was such an experience. It was, oh, that was cool.
Just out of curiosity, would you fault me for putting Titanfall as on my top five list for 2014?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Because
it's not different enough to me. Like we were talking.
No, I wouldn't, because of the fact that it's the first. It's unless we if we start getting them year after year after year,
if it becomes an annual property.
When Titanfall 4 comes out and it's on your top five list, then I might have something to say about
Titanfall 4
will come out in late 2015.
I could totally see I could have seen myself putting Call of Duty 4 on a top five list.
Yeah,
but not Modern Warfare 2 or 3 or
well, but Call of Duty 4 was an innovation to the series
exactly,
and that was the last time that game changed to me.
All right,
you're going to get Titanfall in your hands, and it's going to be a first-person shooter and then a first-person shooter, the reskinned HUD, and you're going to be disappointed.
I doubt
no.
that.
No. I think you still like it. But
I'm not the first person to defend that game, but no.
I have a feeling that game is going to fizzle quicker than they want.
Sizzle. All right.
No,
number
not sizzle,
nine.
Fizzle.
Number nine.
Number nine, Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag.
I call bullshit.
Didn't make the top five.
Yeah, huh? Me too.
Did not make the top five, but it was number nine.
We have to wonder how many people.
Yes, so there's a nice console.
You have to wonder how many people that have written in their submissions are the series is just, you know, it wasn't on their list because the series is just old.
Or they could have the exact same opinion of that we just provided of COD Ghosts to Assassin's Creed.
Yep.
That's entirely plausible. Maybe it's just not their cup of tea.
Exactly. I
mean, a lot
now,
of
speaking of not my cup of tea, number eight.
Titanfall.
Injustice.
It's on the list.
I like this game. Don't get me wrong. I liked it. But it's like fighting games. It's only as good as the people you're playing with.
It's a fighting game.
I will admit, if the people you're playing with are too good, then it sucks.
No, I mean like that one was one of the ones that was a good that story I liked a lot. That was a good comic book.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of fighting games, I have not tried Killer Instinct yet. I don't think I will, though. Anyway,
cool story, bro.
So you can buy all of your individual characters?
Hey, I get Orchid. At least I can stare at her.
Well, there's...
That's not creepy at all. Way
that
to
was
be a
totally
awesome
worth,
gamer.
Totally worth the $500.
I spent $250.
Totally worth the $500.
You're married. You spent $500.
Yeah. Actually, we split it right down the middle. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Totally worth the $500.
Household to that.
However, Joe, I did sign up for Project Spark and I got in the beta.
Hey.
So
I don't know what that is.
It's the game that it's the only Xbox One game that you said looked interesting. The one where you can create your own game in your own world.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
That's gonna be just like Little Big Planet, where I don't have 30 hours a week to dedicate to learning how to build things. I hope it's easier than that. I hope they can get that kind of worked out.
So anyway,
it's not so
number
seven.
Batman Arkham Origins.
Haven't played it yet.
It's a good game.
Oh, I mean, that's what I'm like. That's,
I enjoyed
that's
it.
Ones I can, that was one of those ones I can so wait until that's down to like a
it just didn't
game of the year edition or yeah. platinum edition or whatever you want to call it, where it's like 20, 30 bucks. I think it's what, like 35 now? I
think so,
something
yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. It's got to get under 30 for me to, for a new copy, for me to want it. And then I'll totally pick it up because I like beating men unconscious and leaving them in the snow all
I
the time.
I just think it's
I
interesting.
I live in the northern part of the United States. That's just what I do.
I just think it's interesting that that game and many reviewers and many articles I've read have agreed with it is that the best fight in that game is the Deathstroke fight.
That's what I've heard. And it's towards the
and
beginning.
And it's right at the beginning of the game.
I've heard.
Which
I've,
nothing against like any of the other fights in the game, but just for some reason that's the most interesting, most fun fight in the entire game.
I've heard that, but I've also heard for that same reason, I've also heard it as the most despised fight because the rules for that fight are completely different than any other Arkham game, which led a lot of people to be frustrated with it because you don't realize it's all a QuickTime event. It's not just mash the punch button and then a QuickTime event. The entire thing is dictated by QuickTime.
Yeah.
And that is contradictory to everything in Arkham. So,
and the one thing I'll say about the Batman games is it started with the first one. It's like, you can play as Joker. You can play as whoever. And it's like they're in a challenge map.
Yeah, they're in challenge. See,
yeah,
and
it's
Deathstroke.
Like,
they're like,
yeah. As soon as I saw that, I'm like, oh, I would love to play Deathstroke, but I know it's going to be in a challenge map, and that's cool, and I like that. But after I beat the game, give me the guy in the open world.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I will give Arkham Blackgate credit for over like Arkham Origins and the other Arkham games is because the suits in Blackgate actually
do something
in the gameplay versus just.
They look different. They look pretty.
Yeah. Like one of them gives you like a plus 25%, you know, decrease in gun damage. And one you do like.
No, it was like an armored bat suit or something.
No, it was like the like Batman 100 or something like that. It's just it's all the different suits.
Oh, so it has nothing to do with what the suit looks like and can do. It's just the different attribute attached to that suit.
Yeah, exactly. Randomly. So they're like Batman 100, you get minus 25% gun damage or something like that. Like
Batman Beyond, easier stealth or something.
Yeah, like it's they, but they don't in the console games. They're just they're just there to look at. Whereas in the Vita game, they actually made them do something, which made you want to change them.
I will say what pissed me off about not this Batman, but the last one was they had a Batman Sinestro Corps skin.
It's amazing how we're not talking about games from last year.
I know. That's crazy, but I'm going to talk about it anyways. Is that – I'm going to do it. I don't care.
Number six. State of Decay.
Really? Okay, I did not expect it to be that high.
I never even heard of it.
State of Decay? It was in my top five, Joe.
You were zoning out during that time. I think that's when you sent me that link.
Sean has been championing that game all year long.
No, I haven't talked about it in months.
Championing it all year long.
All year long.
State of Decay right here. It's a game, basically, Joe. You go out and you have this map, this world. You're a survivor as the apocalypse.
Hey, Joe, why don't you go back and listen to the last year of podcasts?
Okay.
You could Google it or look up
YouTube
video.
I've never hoped that someone gags and dies on a penis more in my life.
Number five.
Okay, this is where we get now. This is where it gets real, folks. Number five.
Anybody want to take a guess?
Gone Home.
And you said all the top five are ones we've talked about, right?
Tomb Raider.
That's too high for that game.
Shut up.
That's too low for that game.
That's a... Yeah, that needs to be higher.
Yeah,
actually, you know what? That one needs to be number two because it's a pile of shit. I'm just saying this to rile up Mike. You notice how he's not talking? Because I haven't played the game, so I don't really have any opinion.
Your opinion never really matters in this.
Want to go on?
Nope, I think we should just throw the list out the window. It's over. It's over. That's what?
Number four. BioShock Infinite.
Okay.
That's where I had it on my list.
I get that being. That's why I said it. What, like, I get that. Not
now, the
top
next
three.
One, I don't agree with the fact that it's even in the top five.
Gone Home?
Nope.
Lego Marvel?
GTA 5.
Why? What is with the hate?
Just because it bothers you.
So does herpes, but you don't see me frowning.
Especially the stuff in your mouth. All right.
I got it from you.
Well, duh. Where else were you going to get it from?
Your mother.
Then you would have gotten herpes in a different place.
I toast that I don't have it in both.
So Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider.
GTA 5.
GTA 5.
Tomb Raider, Bioshock.
Bioshock.
GTA 5. Okay.
5 is 3.
Oh, man, we're right at number 3. All right.
We're at number 2.
Now we're at 2.
Last of Us?
No. Gone Home.
That's it. I give up.
I'm out. It's not number 1, so whatever.
How does that not? What?
You have to think it's probably not people not dissing on the game, Mike. It's people that haven't played the game.
I bet you can't guess
what number 1 is.
GTA 5 again?
Wait, what is it? Did you say
number 1 game of the year for 2013 is The Last of Us.
I thought it was going to be GTA Online.
That would have been hysterical.
And Wikipedia listed them as separate games
called they Shenanigans. Kind of
technically they are.
There was 6 points separating Last of Us and Gone Home.
Ooh.
They were the closest. Pretty much everybody who submitted the list had both of those games on their list.
I had neither of those games.
Well, that's because you don't play good games.
Yeah. I don't have that system.
You don't have a PC?
Not a good one.
Sean, if it makes you feel better, one person voted for Saints Row 4.
Did they? And it wasn't me. Who was it?
Wasn't you.
Was it anyone we know from the forums or anything? Oh, bastards.
So
thank you, random person that voted for Saints Row 4, but I appreciated it. The rest of these assholes don't give a shit about you, but I love you. Come to my embrace.
Don't do that because you'll get herpes.
Come, take me as a brother. Herpes of love, Joe. Don't go play for ukulele.
That's his code name for herpes of the ass.
They migrated to the ass. They didn't start there. They're nomad herpes. Okay?
So real quick, the rundown is Tomb Raider, Bioshock, GTA 5, Gone Home, and The Last of Us. I'm okay with that.
All right, Art, stay awake. I'm going to come over there and pick up that Last of Us. Apparently, I need to play this game.
I'm not okay with
at 9:30
Tomb Raider being...
I'm joking. I'm going to bed.
Five on the list, but
you want it to be higher?
Yeah.
In place of what?
GTA 5.
Nope, not going to happen. More. No, it's not. I'm not saying this for anything about my personal opinions. GTA 5. I almost guarantee that the numbers of people that played GTA 5 is got to be higher than the people that played.
Yeah, I agree with that.
GTA 5, The Last of Us Gone Home and GTA 5 were very, very solid numbers-wise throughout the entire vote. They were all voted very highly. Tomb Raider, Bioshock, Arkham Origins, and State of Decay were all kind of muddled in a grouping for quite a while. Not until like the last week have they broken away from each other.
Broken away from the pack, yeah. It's that I'm not saying, you know what? I haven't played Tomb Raider. If I played it, I'd probably love it because, like what you've said, it's kind of like the axing to the head. I'd probably really enjoy that because I'm sadistic.
But well, it's like Uncharted, but it doesn't suck.
Well, yeah.
Hold up. You're comparing Uncharted. Tomb Raider to Uncharted 1. You can't do that.
Okay.
Mister, yeah, I can't get through Uncharted 1.
I can't get through. I want to so bad.
I don't even know if you can compare Tomb Raider to Uncharted 3. You could. Maybe compare Tomb Raider to Uncharted 2, but Uncharted 2 is going to beat it to death.
So you're saying 2 is the best?
Yes.
Okay.
What was that before about talking about games from other years?
We're done.
It's okay
with
when Mike does it.
Oh, okay. I guess. I'm the asshole. Got it. Just checking.
Thank you. Thank you, Danner. Although I can't tell if you're being sincere or.
When has really? You know how I know when Danner's being sincere? When he's not talking.
All right, so that does it for Off the Cuffs Game of the Year for 2013. In case you all missed it, we'll just it was The Last of Us. Y'all missed. I've been reading X-Men and Rogue.
y'all.
God, now watch you start reading and start speaking like.
If you want to chime in on our list of the top 10, top 5, you can get in touch with us and comment on our parent site, geekcastradio.com.
Or you just want to talk about how much you like BioShock Infinite.
Or you can send emails to us at feedback@geekcastradio.com. Just put off the cuff in the subject line. If you listen to us on iTunes, if you could go ahead and leave us a review on there, that'd be much appreciated. Then we'd at least know we were doing something right or wrong.
We love 5 stars, but 1 are okay.
Yes, exactly.
5 1 if you must.
One if you must. But at least you gave us a review. So
yeah, awesome. And if you're going to give us 1 star,
tell us why.
Make it the brown star. Let's do that.
You can find myself, Michael Powers, on Twitter, Xbox Live, and the PlayStation Network at BoothNinja81. Danner?
You can find me on Twitter at RDanner or on PlayStation Network at X51 The Machine Man.
Chauncey? And you can also find him on Joe's ukulele. I have been Chauncey Brown. You can find me on Twitter at Chauncey Brown. You can find me on Xbox Live at Weapon87. I'm still the only one of these guys really playing that system.
Keeping it
strong, right? I'm making like the black power fist right now. None of you can see it, but yes, fight the man being Mike.
I should have hung up on him a long time ago.
Also, like keep your eyes out to the internet for Sean's Saints Row 4 fan fiction that'll be coming out soon.
It's called My Life as a Superhero Soda Can, is what it is.
All right, Joe.
You can find me on the PlayStation Network at VivaIsledFire 405. And you can also find me on Facebook at the Geek Stuff Garage Sale.
All right, that does it for this week. I think next week is going to be off-season part 2, which topic we will be discussing, we do not know. Although I think the gaming discussion for next week may be something that I like to do. I know that Danner hates, but predictions for 2014. So stick around for that. See you next week. We'll be right back.